Did you know we have completely ad-free early access to all of our episodes? Well, we do. Not only that, but we have dozens of bonus episodes waiting for you. Head on over to patreon.com/ghosttownpod, and you can check it out for 7 days absolutely free. That's patreon.com/ghosttownpod.
As we wrap up 2025, one thing's clear. Uncertainty isn't temporary. It's the world we live in now. Noble Gold Investments helps Americans protect what they've built with real gold and silver, holding value when everything else feels uncertain. Visit NobleGoldInvestments.com and take your first step toward a safe future. This holiday season, when you open up a qualified account, you'll receive 10 one-ounce commemorative silver holiday coins. Visit Noble Gold today.
Past performance may not be indicative of future results. Investing in precious metals, including gold, involves risks. Consult with your tax attorney or financial professional before making an investment decision.
Making the Cut. I'm Jason Horton.
I'm Rebecca Lieb.
And this is Ghost Town.
Hours of August 9th, 1969 will not soon be forgotten. It was that night on 10050 Cielo Drive in Benedict Canyon that Charles Manson led Tex Watson, Susan Atkins, Patricia Krenwinkel, and Linda Kasabian to kill pregnant actor Sharon Tate, Abigail Folger, Wojciech Frykowski, Stephen Parent, and Jay Sebring. These victims' tremendous lives were not only cut short, but diluted by the notoriety and violent nature of the Manson family. And yet, today, in unexpected ways, some of the victims' legacies live on in not so obvious yet powerful pieces of history, too compelling to be ignored. We'll be exploring one of these legacies today, that of celebrity hairstylist Jay Sebring, the glamorous, handsome, styling icon that truly defined the aesthetic of a generation. The man that would become Jay Sebring was brought into this world as John Cummer, born October 10th, 1933, to accountant Bernard and his wife, Margaret. Johnny had a pretty normal upbringing, spending his childhood with his brother and two sisters in a middle-class neighborhood in Detroit. After graduating from Detroit Catholic Central High School in 1951, he enlisted in the Navy during the Korean War, where he learned to cut men's hair. Though he was a mere 5'6 and 122 pounds, Sebring had model good looks, what we call a short king with big ambitions. After the war, John Cummer moved to Los Angeles, where the stylish veteran reinvented himself, opening a chrome, mirrored, and modern men's hair salon at 725 North Fairfax Avenue, and christened himself Jay Sebring after a famous racetrack. He stuck out like a sore thumb in the industry. At this time, barbershops were still a bit medical, with red and white barber poles and old men waiting for their close-cropped coif. Not Jay. Almost ushering in the 1960s, Jay Sebring would pop out of his Mustang Cobra in straight-leg hip-hugger jeans, a beat-up chambray shirt from Fred Siegel, and got to work. On his 27th birthday, October 10th, 1960, Sebring married model Bonnie Lee Marple in Las Vegas, a union that would end 3 years later in true Hollywood style. No doubt the relationship ended in part due to his over-the-top lifestyle. Sebring's salon had a secret entrance and a private styling room, not just for his celebrity clientele, but for his many lovers. Sebring's star kept rising and the times kept changing. The stylist famously layered men's hair. Game show host Bob Eubanks, himself the son of a barber, called the breezy short shag the, quote, Sebring look, and wrote that every young man waiting in line at a Hollywood nightclub had it. And Sebring's star, again, kept growing. Regulars included Kirk Douglas, Paul Newman, Frank Sinatra, Sammy Davis Jr., Marlon Brando, and Henry Fonda. Jay Sebring is also credited with creating Jim Morrison's iconic, wavy, psychedelic hairstyle. He styled and was close friends with Bruce Lee and Steve McQueen. The former taught him martial arts, and the latter was always around for a cocaine-fueled night. Warren Beatty, another client, of course, partially based his main character in the film Shampoo on Sebring, another unexpected memoir. Sebring loved it all, doing stints in the public eye all of the time. There's this incredible episode of To Tell the Truth, filmed on January 28th, 1963, where Sebring is the celebrity truther. You can find it online. It is great. Sebring also bought himself a nice house, a mansion on Easton Drive in Benedict Canyon, one with its own criminal history. Not to go off on too much of a tangent, but it was there that Jean Harlow's husband, Paul Byrne, died of suicide about 2 months after he and Harlow had married and under very mysterious circumstances. You can learn more about this in part one of our Chateau Marmont episode if you are so inclined. A friend of J. Sebring's remembers that when he bought it, he showed him the bathroom where the body had been found and said, quote, "When I go, the whole world's going to know about it." Haunting and true words, are they not? In the late 1960s, most men's haircuts ran for about $1.50, but a session with J. Sebring would cost up to $25, about $240 today. You were paying for the expertise of Sebring's attuned eye, yes, but also new technology that was very rare, if not downright foreign, in the men's hair marketplace. For example, Sebring brought the widespread use of handheld hair dryers to the States. Then popular in England amongst women, Sebring would use hair dryers constantly to achieve his lightweight layered looks, along with another product unheard of for men at the time, hairspray, to keep his creations alive long after his client left the salon. Journalist Joe Himes, a new client of Sebring's, once arrived to the salon on his motorcycle. When cutting his hair, Sebring asked if Himes would show him how to ride the bike, and he agreed. The next Saturday morning, Himes says that Sebring appeared at his house off Coldwater Canyon in, quote, "full tailored black leather down to the black helmet and sunglasses." Sebring rode up and down the street and then asked if he could borrow the bike for the weekend. Quote, "I got a call an hour later," Himes continued. "He had an accident on his first turn." The motorcycle was pretty mangled, but Sebring said he couldn't afford its repairs. Instead, he offered Himes free haircuts in exchange. Remember, Sebring was charging $25, a hefty sum for some nice layers. Quote, "Henry Fonda would be there when I went in. There'd be starlets shampooing hair. It was the hottest place in Hollywood in the afternoon. There was gossip, coffee, pretty girls, and the haircuts were damn good. It was worth a few hundred dollars in damage to get the bike repaired." Less than a year after his divorce, Sebring met the woman he'd be eternally linked to, Sharon Tate. We'll get into their deep and complicated relationship after this break.
Hi, hello, how are you?
Hello.
How are you doing?
How's it going out there?
We are checking in.
This is the check-in.
Hello.
Check-in time.
We want to thank anyone who's listening, supporting us, spreading the good word of Ghost Town. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. And those mayors. They're icons themselves.
They are. They are. They're stars in the sky.
And they're stars of the government.
Yeah, that's
which
right.
That's the sexier one, right?
Yeah, government's way sexier than the cosmos.
Yeah, files and stuff and org charts.
Whoa.
Love a good org chart.
Stop it.
Before this mayor was a mayor, they had a salon of their own.
Really?
Yeah.
Hmm.
They were one of the founders of Supercuts.
Wow, that's pretty good.
It's pretty good. Still going strong.
Still going strong. You're still making that
they're
money.
They're like, "Let me see you do this without me." And they're like, "We will."
Sure. We can cut a bang.
But when you go to Supercuts, it's like, why is there 1 to 0 people working here? Do I stop
it's
going?
It's abandoned.
It's like literally like one person or there's no people.
Yeah.
Or you walk in there and you work there.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, I don't want to cut the hair.
Get to work.
That's Ashley Mattson.
Hello.
This mayor, a little bit of a fashion icon.
Mm.
Also a salon.
Wow.
Was one of the founders of Fantastic Sam's.
Yeah, baby. I've gotten a blowout there.
Who's Sam?
They're fantastic.
It's Uncle Sam.
It's the I Feel Fantastic Sam's mystery.
So, yes. They were like, "I'm going to go be mayor. Let me see you try to do this without me." And they're like, "We will."
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And Rebecca will keep the lights on.
Yeah, always.
It's Kat Rozelle.
Hello.
This one's I know it's East Coast because I've gone there when I've been out there. And I still get spam from them every single day, even though I went there once.
Uh-huh.
But this mayor is one of the founders of The Haircuttery.
The Haircuttery! Welcome.
They didn't even, they were just like, "What are we going to do? We're going to cut hair. It's just what it's called, hair. I'm tired." Like,
this is a factory
setting.
Yeah,
it's called
it's
Haircuttery.
It's not glamorous.
And I believe she probably knows it because she's from the area, but she may or may not. I'm going to find out. Maybe she'll message me. Is Kelly Meehan.
Hello.
Surprise, surprise, this mayor also has a salon.
Hmm. It's a lot of haircutters out there
in
our government.
They were like, "Let me see you try to do this without us." Like, "We'll keep doing it." Was one of the founders of Great Clips.
Ooh.
With a Z?
Nope.
Oh. I think that was the thing. It was like, "I want a Z." And they're like, "No.
No.
It's going to be dated after. It seems like a good idea right now with the Z, but trust us, it's going to seem dated." They're like, "Well, I'm out of here. I'm going to become mayor." And they're like, "All right.
Sure."
That's Casey Weber.
Hello.
This mayor's like, you want frills? Get out of here. You want a real barber, you know what I mean? You want to get in a chair, you want to talk about you. You know, you want to talk about the way the world works, man. You know what I mean? This man is like, had nothing to do with their names. Like, it's called Floyd's. And why is it $112?
I don't know. It smells good.
Yeah.
But that is misleading.
But it's got like, it almost kind of has like a, is this like a motorcycle club? Is this like a boxing gym? Mm-hmm. And it's like, why is it $112?
I know, I'm done.
Just for a fade.
I don't need a succulent next to the thing.
It's just a fade. You're just giving fades. Well, not Floyd, but Matthew Clemenz Leray.
Hello.
This mayor walked away from a dynasty.
Mm-hmm.
This one you're going to know right away. You're going to be like, oh, yeah. It's like the Kleenex to tissues. Mm-hmm. You're gonna, the Xerox to copy machines. Mm. You know it. We all know it. We've all been there many times. Unisex salon. They were like, haircutter. People at haircutter were like, listen, we're lazy. But come on, God, come
wow.
on.
Yeah, there's those photos, the drawings in the window. They're always like a different style.
They were just like, call it salon. They're like, well, we have.
Well, is it for men or women? They're like, unisex.
Just can you just say men and women salon? Like, how do we shorten it? Like, how about unisex? They just fall asleep. Well, this mayor walked away from it all. It's Marissa Rothermill.
Hello.
And then our governor.
Mm-hmm.
Would bulldoze every single one.
Mm-mm.
If she felt like it. Our governor is the founder and still owner. Now, this might literally just be for people in Los Angeles, but the billboards are iconic.
They really are.
And they always change. Mm-hmm. I mean, when you ever see a billboard and you're just like, come, that's too much. It's like, what is happening? It looks like a magic show at the Bellagio.
It really is. Yeah. It's like Criss Angel Mind Freak if it were a studio in dumpy West Hollywood.
Yeah. And it's just a lot of mane. Like, it's just like the Lion King.
I'm looking at a bunch of them because it's like every 6 months he's like, we have to completely wipe our marketing slate clean. I want new headshots.
Yeah.
I want new fonts. I want new taglines. And she's like, he looks like he is just a photo.
And you're wondering who this is. Well, the person behind it is our governor, but the name of the salon is Chaz Dean's. If you're not familiar, you shouldn't be. Look it up. We have to see it every single day
going down
some street. I'm like,
it's our
wait,
burden.
Didn't we have really long hair and like a beard, and now it's just like a pompadour.
Yeah, it's blonde. He's always like so Barbie blonde.
Yeah.
Cut, color, style. 6444 Fountain Avenue, Hollywood.
We should look into this dude.
I know. We should do an episode.
There's got to be. He had to have murdered. He murdered somebody.
I think we should get you undercover in a Chaz Dean salon.
Yeah.
Well, maybe.
But if you want to thank the person who makes affords Chaz Dean's different looks every single time, that would be our governor,
Avian Noble.
So if you want no ads, no chit-chat bonus episodes, just the good stuff and a great haircut, 7 days free, head on over to patreon.com/ghosttownpost. No, I mean, they already have their own Patreon. Patreon.com/ghosttownpod.
Don't go to their Patreon. Go to our Patreon. Yeah.
This is probably killing it. They're probably crushing
so
it.
So true.
We're sending so much traffic to Unisex Salon.
I know, absolutely.
You want to get back into it?
Let's get back into it. We're back in Los Angeles, California in the 1960s. Now, according to Larry Geller, Elvis's hairstylist, who actually originally worked for Sebring, it was another stylist, Jean Shackove, then the hottest women's hairstylist in the city, who first told Sebring about Tate's existence. Are you following? Geller says, quote, Jean was telling us how beautiful this new starlet was, and Jay started pounding the table saying, I'm going to get her. I'm going to get her. Sebring asked his friend Joe Hyams, again mentioned earlier, at the time the West Coast bureau chief and columnist for the New York Herald Tribune, to introduce him to Sharon Tate. So he obliged, arranging an interview with Tate at Frascati's, the then hot Italian restaurant on the Sunset Strip. Hyams said, quote, as I was finishing the interview, Jay came in and sat down next to Sharon. After a while, I left. The next day, I called Jay to see how it went, and she answered the phone, so I assumed it went well. The two soon became inseparable, with Tate becoming a fixture at the salon. She even learned how to cut hair. According to novelist Dominic Dunn, he met Tate in the private room at the salon, where he had a standing appointment every 3 weeks. Quote, she would often be sitting in a chair just to be with Jay as he worked. She looked so young that I thought at first she was coming there after school. According to Sebring's employee Joe Toranuva, quote, Sharon Tate was his girlfriend for a long time. To me, he always loved her. There was this mystique about him. He was very shy, except with close friends. He was guarded. He had a lot of things going on that were just ready to click. Toranueva goes on to say, quote, I idolized him. Sebring took him along when he went to Las Vegas another story about Sebring and his employee, Toranueva. He took him along to Vegas every 3 weeks to cut hair in Las Vegas. Celebrities' hair like Frank Sinatra, Sammy Davis Jr., the casino owners who owned the biggest casinos at the time. Sebring would always fill Toranueva in on clients, who were often, as you might imagine, questionable people with a lot of money and power. He'd say to Toranueva, those guys are from the Purple Gang in Detroit. Just keep quiet and cut. You'll be okay. In fact, after the killings, the police and the FBI went to see Toranueva. It was then that he got a call from an unnamed client in Las Vegas. Quote, Joe, I know you're worried. Listen, you're a good guy. You never hurt no one. No one's going to hurt you. But I'm getting ahead of myself. During all of these celebrity clients, the ones in Vegas, the ones in Los Angeles, it was the 1960s, and Jay and Sharon were a whole thing. They were the hottest couple in Hollywood. Some biographers say that Tate felt she was too young to marry Sebring, while others say she was ready for marriage and recently divorced Sebring was not. Either way, things were huge and high profile, but they changed when she went off to London to film the 1967 horror comedy The Fearless Vampire Killers with director Roman Polanski. Polanski wrote in his autobiography that the two bonded during an LSD trip one night, and by dawn, they were in love. Sebring, who was technically still dating Tate in Los Angeles at the time, was heartbroken, but resigned to this new reality, giving Tate his blessing and telling her he'd like to still be friends. So, they were. Whether Sebring pined for Tate or had an affair with her after she was married, we'll never know. But the fact is, the two had a deep connection that time was not kind to, in so many ways. When Polanski, who admitted he cheated over the course of his 18-month marriage with Sharon Tate, extended a European trip in August of 1969, Sebring was the first one Tate called to keep her company. Realtor and friend of Sharon Tate, Elaine Young, remembers this time. In fact, she had been to see Tate the week before she died. Quote, Jay was very good looking. He was crazy about Sharon. The biggest mistake he ever made was not marrying her. She left him and went to Europe and married Roman, who treated her like dirt. Tate asked Young for baby decorating advice on that fateful visit. Quote, Jay was half staying there with her, Young said. Anyone could walk in and out. Polanski never returned to the house in the canyon, nor did Elaine, because on August 9th, 1969, the Manson family would break into the house on Cielo Drive, changing the course of cultural history. In an even more heartbreaking detail about this tragic night, authorities conclude that Sebring was shot first, allegedly for protesting over their captor's rough treatment of Tate. Even facing his assured death, his connection to Tate was undeniable, trying his best to protect her and her unborn child. Elaine Young, who disturbingly enough also says she sold O.J. Simpson the home where he would murder Nicole Brown Simpson and Ronald Goldman, was in the car when she heard the news on the radio. I was devastated. 10050 Cielo Drive was sold to a new owner who stayed for years, saying, quote, the house had good vibes. It sold to a couple developers, then was rented out to Trent Reznor, and eventually owner and developer Alvin Weintraub had it demolished in early 1994 and constructed a new house close by with a new, less controversial address, 10066 Cielo Drive. That new house remains there to this day, as does a modern salon named Good Form at 725 North Fairfax Avenue, which was open for business for women's cutting, color, and styling until Tuesday, September 4th, 2024. This space, always a salon, is part of Sebring's legacy, at least for now. So why is it shutting down? The building's recent buyer, operating as Fairfax Avenue Holdings, LLC, filed an unlawful detainer case to evict Good Form, and they decided not to fight the eviction. And so, after these owners continued Sebring's legacy for the last 65 years, its fate, at present time, as we're recording this, is uncertain. So if you're an LA resident, you might be able to catch a peek at the salon from the outside and imagine a short, handsome man flitting about from his expensive cars to expensive clientele and feel, for a moment, transported to the heyday, the optimism, and the soon-to-be-lost innocence of 1960s Los Angeles.
History is full of bizarre, unsolved mysteries. And over time, these stories have been bent by rumor, warped by social media, and twisted into legend. I'm Michael May, and on A Study of Strange, we dig into these real mysteries and seek the truth, as close as we can get anyway. Recently, we've covered true crime cases like the Greystone Mansion murder, the Red Lipstick Killer, and America's first reported serial killers. Of course, every now and then we also dive into the odd, esoteric, and paranormal, including vanishing people, haunted locations, and UFO history. So if you like your mysteries historical, or if you love a good debunking every now and then, search A Study of Strange wherever you listen to podcasts. And remember, the truth is always stranger than fiction.